You're accountable to your father. Now, in the show, sometimes that happened, sometimes it didn't. But at least that was the theory. Wait till your father gets home. Well, as Christians, we too are waiting. Not waiting for our father to get home. We're waiting for the Heavenly Father's Son to return. We're waiting for Jesus to come back. And this morning we're focusing on the fact that when Jesus comes back, he's coming to judge. Judge both Christians and non-Christians. We're waiting not for the Father to come home, but for Jesus to return. See, one day we'll have to need to explain our lives to him. We're accountable for who we are and what we've done with what God has given. Sometimes we don't focus so much on this reality, but this morning is a good balance to what the scripture says about this fact. Like I mentioned before, the favour of the Lord is a great motivation for generosity. And we're looking at the second one this morning. And the reality is today we're thinking about the fact that Jesus will come back and all of us will be judged, both Christian and non-Christian. A few verses which pick that up. First of all, from Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him and will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Notice there at the beginning of verse 32, all the nations. Everyone who's ever lived will be there. In John 5, verses 24 to 29, or focusing on verse 27, he, the Father, has given him, the Son, Jesus, authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in the grave, in their graves, will hear his voice and come out. And that'll be to come out to face judgment. See, we know, don't we? We all die. We don't know when that will be, but we will. And that is not the end. Whether we're buried or cremated, or if that's not possible, if something happens and we can't that happen to us, one day we'll all be raised. We'll all face Jesus as the judge. Your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, your grandmother, your great-auntie, your sister, if they haven't died already, they will. You put them in the ground, you bury them, or you have a little niche for their ashes. That is not the end. One day, Jesus will return, and all of us will be raised. It's a sobering thought, isn't it? When we go to a funeral, it's sad, very sad, of course, depending how close we are to the one that's died. But and over time, we kind of get on with living, don't we? We sometimes forget, or that can take. We sometimes never forget, of course, those that have passed away. But the reality is, all of us will be raised. Or if you're still alive when Jesus comes back, we'll face him as the judge. In Acts 17, it says this, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he set a day when he will judge the world. He will judge everyone who's ever lived with justice by the man he has appointed. He's given proof of that to everyone by raising him from the dead. See, death is not the end. After death comes judgment for you. After death comes judgment for me. Second Corinthians 5, verse 10 is another verse. The Apostle Paul says, for we must all, and here at this point, referring just to Christians, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And so, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, make no mistake, one day you will appear before Jesus as the judge. Make no mistake, I will appear before Jesus as the judge. And when Jesus comes back and we stand before him as the judge, it's going to be a day of reckoning, a day of reckoning. One day, we need to explain our lives before him. One day, we'll need to give an account of how we've used or stewarded what God has entrusted to us. We'll need to explain to Jesus how we've put to use or not put to use what God has given. We see this in the parable in Matthew 25, sometimes called the parable of the talents. As the story begins, Jesus says his kingdom is like this. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. The master entrusts his property, his wealth, to three servants, different amounts. They go away. They use what they have given. Two use what's been given to them. One doesn't. We pick it up in verse 19. Matthew 19. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the five bags of gold brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I've gained five more. We jump down to verse 22. The man with two bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I've gained two more. Then down to verse 24. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. In those three circumstances, each servant explained or gave an account of how they had used what they had been given. One day, dear brothers and sisters, Christ will ask us to give an explanation of how we have used what he has given us. Well, here we are in September. Spring has sprung, and if you've got to do a tax return, you've still got 2 months to go. So don't panic, you've still got 2 months to go. Now, when you're giving your tax return, this is what I'm told. Generally, the tax department accepts what you do, what you've given. They do that unless it looks suspicious. If it looks a bit suspicious, they do some investigating. They might do an audit on your tax return. They might ask you to explain your tax deductions. Have you got proof? Where's the evidence that you deserve this tax deduction? See, not everybody is audited when you're given your tax return. But one day, when the Lord Jesus returns, everyone will be audited, if you like. Our first reading, it says, the courtroom sat and the books were open. One day the books will be opened. Your books will be opened. My books will be opened. And it will be like Jesus seeing our bank statement. He will see where the money that he has given to us, he will see where that has gone. He'll see how much time we've spent on Facebook. He will see how much time we've spent watching TV. Everything will be logged. We know when you go to a website, it's noted that someone's been there. They don't recognise exactly who it is, but there's a record kept of how many visits to a site and things like that. The Lord will know how much time we have, perhaps, if we've wasted time doing stuff, he'll know that. He'll know when we've used it wisely. Next week, I pray you come with great joy as you fill in this form, indicating your prayer, your giving, and how you're interested in serving in other ways. And how we fill or don't fill in the form, and filling in the form is not really important, but the fact that we are involved and use what God has given us, that's the main thing. We'll need to answer how much or how little we've prayed, how much or how little we've given to here and other places, how much we've served. We'll need to explain all that because we're accountable. Life just doesn't go on and we die and that's it. We're accountable to Jesus the judge. And with that accountability, we'll need to explain to Jesus how we treat each other as part of that. And in Romans 14, it talks about that. In Rome, there's Christians bickering and fighting. They're disagreeing over things they shouldn't be disagreeing about, over trivial matters. And then the Apostle Paul says this, "So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God." We need to explain how we treated one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we're teachers of God's word, there is extra accountability. This is a special word for the staff, a special word for the scripture teachers, a word for the youth and children's leaders who bring God's word to others, a word for the Bible study leaders. We are wonderfully entrusted with the word of God, entrusted to pass that on to you and to others. We need to do that well. Because as it says in James 3 verse 1, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that you who teach will be judged more severely." So being up here is a very privileged position, and I don't take it lightly, because I can influence people both for good and for bad, and I pray it's only ever for good. Anyone who brings God's word to others has that potential for good and also for evil. And as we think about where we live at this time of history, we are very blessed materially. If we had a hot shower this morning or last night, we are some of the wealthiest people in the world. And to whom much is given, much is actually required. And we have been given much materially. And the verse there, it says, from Luke 12, verse 48, the second half part of our second reading. "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be demanded." And I want to say, praise God, it's happening. And this was totally, totally unorganized. As in, this wasn't arranged between myself and this family. But this morning I got this thank you note from, I hope it's okay to say their names, from Lita, Ralph, Lara, Joshua and Thomas. And they wanted me to read this out this morning. "Thank you for your prayers, for your help and your practical help." And this is God's doing, because this says, when the Lord says, "What have you done?" When we give an account for how we've used our time and money and the money given to us, we can say, "Yes, Lord, in your name and to your glory." That's beautiful, isn't it? Thank you, Lord, for arranging that. And thank you, guys, for doing that, for passing that on. So we are using what God has given us. Let's keep on doing that. But have an assessment. How are we going overall with that? Now, I'm sure some of us remember Crackernight. Remember Crackernight? Back in 30 years ago or so. And we used to have that. Anybody not heard of Crackernight? Perhaps some of the younger guys. Over 30 years ago. Back in June long weekend. Used to do it at our place down the bottom where we lived of the hill, massive fire. And every year, my parents gave me this fairly big bag of crackers. And it was great. Look forward to it every year. Well, this particular year, I got too close to the fire, too close to the bonfire. Some ash drifted off the fire, and my full bag of explosives, really, they just burst in the flame at once and went, no, no, no. The fire revealed how stupid I was. I was too close to the bonfire. The fire revealed how foolish I was in standing too close. Well, one day, the fire will reveal what we have done with what God has given us. The fire will show, the fire of God's judgment will show what we have done and what we haven't done with what God has given us. And before we get to that scripture, here's a picture of those with some sparklers back in the 1970s and a child with some. Now, last week you might remember, if you were here, I bought a cake for a demonstration. I couldn't get a hold of any firecrackers today, so I'm sorry about that. But here's a verse that talks about how when Jesus comes back, it'll be a day of revelation. It'll be a day of making known what we've done with what God has given us. And the verse here is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, by the grace God has given me, I, the Apostle Paul, laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. That's a word particularly to church leaders, but it's a word for all of us as God's people. Build with care. Use what God has given us. And for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Come judgment day, the fire will test the quality of my work amongst us here as God's people. See, as your pastor, I'm accountable to Jesus of how I've done the pastoring here. I've got to build with care. You've got to build with care with what God has entrusted you with. Because that day will reveal how we've gone. It will be very clear how we have used well what God has given us. And with thanks to God, this will be shown on Judgment Day. It will also be clear if we haven't used well what God has given us in the building of His church. Judgment Day is a reality, a day of reckoning, a day of revelation. And what will be the result in the end? Well, God will give to each person according to what they have done. Romans chapter 2, verse 6. God will give to each person according to what they have done. The result will be fair. In Acts 17, we're told there, the world will be judged with justice. Come judgment day, there will be rewards and there will be punishments. And next week in the sermon, we're going to explore that a bit more. But today, thinking about our response to Judgment Day and us giving an account, you might be thinking, how does that fit? How does that fit with the wonderful reality that we're forgiven in Jesus? No matter what we've done, as we turn to Him and ask for it, what about Ephesians 2 where it says, where by grace we are saved through faith, not by works, so no one can boast? Aren't we already justified? Aren't we already declared righteous, declared not guilty because of Jesus and His blood that was shed? How does all that work? Isn't that true? I said, and absolutely, that is true. All those statements, saved by grace, not by works, etc. But how does that fit with this judgment according to what we have done? We'll come back next week and we'll put the picture together. But this morning, I don't want us to forget that we will appear before Jesus as the judge. It's a reality. a day of reckoning, a day of revelation. And so it is very appropriate that we learn to fear the Lord, our coming judge, and so use what he has given. Fear the Lord, our coming judge, and so use what he has given. That's the other motivation for being generous and using what he has given. We've got to have both perspectives, because the scripture gives us both perspectives. Fear the Lord, our coming judge, and so use what he has given. About 10 years ago, I was at the front of my place with the whippersnipper doing the edges. And I heard this barking. I thought, what's that? Well, it was a dog. And I turned around with the whippersnipper, and the dog, I was a bit scared, and the dog ran away. I thought, oh, that's okay, the dog's gone. And then about 10 minutes later, I had the lawnmower out. Again, there was barking, and the next thing I knew, the dog had attached itself to my calf muscle. Ah! Well, I was scared. The dog got scared and ran across the road, jumped the fence, and he was gone, or he or she was gone. I was scared stiff of the dog. I was fearful of the dog. Well, the fear of the Lord is not that kind of fear. The fear of the Lord is that healthy respect. The fear of the Lord is that reverence we have before Jesus as the judge. The fear of the Lord is what we should have if we ever gone to court. If you've been to court, you know what happens. You wait for the judge to come in. When the judge comes in, you stand. The judge sits, you sit. In a courtroom, you just cannot sort of mosey up to the judge's seat, say, hey judge, how you doing? That is not appropriate behavior in the presence of a judge. There's the appropriate fear that's needed. That's the kind of fear we're talking about as we fear the Lord. He's our judge. Jesus is not really our mate in the end. He's our great Saviour, but he's the judge. And to help us live like this, at the back there is a leaflet which is about living as stewards. Some of you would have seen this in Bible study groups this week. And if you're part of a Bible study group, you'll see it over the next week or so. But if you're not in a Bible study group, please grab one, because this has been put together to help us live as stewards, to help you be ready for that day of accounting, day of reckoning. And it's there to help us make an assessment of how we're using now what God has given us, and helping us to work out where we should be putting the resources God has given us. See, I'm accountable for how I look after you as God's people, entrusted to me for however long I'm here for. This is to help you. This has helped me doing my job of looking after you. So please have a look at that. If you're not quite sure how it works, then please come and talk to me afterwards. So you need to fear the Lord, our coming judge, and so use what has been given. And to whom much is given, much is required. Second thing I want to say in making this as practical as possible is have a think what you would like to have done in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Now, some of us won't be alive, of course, in that time. But what are our goals for the next 5, 10, however long God gives us? What should our goals be as a church together? Next 5, 10. In the light of what we've been talking about, the best goal to have is this. I want to use what God has given me in his way only. and so be ready for that day of reckoning. As a church, we want to be ready for that day of reckoning. We need to keep making sure we use what God has entrusted us well, because we'll need to explain it one day. Please pray for the wardens as we look at putting the budget together in more detail soon, because we're accountable to God, to Jesus, in the end. As you think with your family, what are your plans and dreams for the next 5, 10, whatever years? May this be the dream, that we use whatever God has given us in His way so we're ready. So your dreams might be, I want to get the kids finally out of the house, or I want to be comfortable, do some travelling, want to take a bit easy. May our goal only be using what God has given us for Him. Because if we spend our life on trivial stuff, one day we've got to explain that. And the third thing to help us think through this is to think of this sandwich. On your outline there's a black and white edition of this. This is what I'm calling the steward's sandwich. There's two motivations for generosity. One is the favour of the Lord, His amazing generosity to us in Christ. The other is the fear of the Lord. We'll appear before Him as the judge. And the filling is what God has given us. But this morning we're emphasising the bottom slice. And to finish off, let's say this together as a way of emphasising that bottom slice. We'll say it twice together. As we wait till the Lord Jesus returns, let us fear the Lord, our coming judge, and so use what He has given. As we wait till the Lord Jesus returns, let's fear the Lord, our coming judge, and so use what He has given. Let us pray. Dear Father, we do pray that we would respond appropriately to who You are and who Your Son is. And we're focusing now on appropriately fearing You, knowing that Jesus, Your Son, will return to judge. Forgive us when we've misused things. Lead us and guide us, we pray, from this point forward. And so we're ready for that day of accounting, that day of reckoning. Please enable us to fear the Lord, our coming judge, and so use what You have given. In His name, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.